Today's reading is in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 46. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, but he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Remember that in yesterday's reading, we left off in verse 44 and 45 with Jesus talking about his death again. And then here in verse 51, we read that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knows what's coming. He knows that he is going to fulfill the plan of God and what that requires. But along the way, he's not done with teaching, and he's not done with proclaiming the word. And so he spends some time doing a little bit of this teaching. Now, the reaction of this Samaritan village is interesting. I'm not sure exactly what's being referred to. It's possible that they see that he is looking to get to Jerusalem on a certain timetable, and so they think that perhaps he does not place any importance on them, or perhaps just in that haste they feel offended in some way. So I think it's more than just he's on his way to Jerusalem. I think there's more to the story, but it's not completely clear what the issue was that prompted them to respond in this way. But James and John, they're not very happy about this rejection. So verse 54, they ask this question, "Do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" I think this also reveals that perhaps there's more to the story, more to this rejection. But whatever there is that we don't have to fill in the gaps, James and John are reacting pretty intensely to this. Now, this could be because they have come from that time in which they were, you know, casting out demons and healing others, and they're thinking of themselves in terms of more like, you know, the power of Elijah, and that prompted them to respond this way or think that this was the appropriate response. But Jesus turns and rebukes them. He makes it clear that they are in the wrong with this response. Jesus has been bringing a message of repentance, a message of compassion, a message of hope. And these two disciples have thought that by one moment's rejection, those people should be eternally punished. Not just wiped off, but if they die in that rejection, they would be eternally punished. I'm not sure they're thinking that all the way through. That may be why Jesus is rebuking them for that, is because they don't realize the eternal ramifications of what they propose. Perhaps we can understand their reaction if we frame this a little bit differently. What happens when someone wrongs us? What happens when someone deeply offends us? That they won't make up for it. They won't change what happened. Do we stop talking to them? Do we avoid them? Do we decide that we're just not going to have anything to do with them anymore? Well, that's similar to what James and John here are doing. Now, there may be some situations in which it's necessary to end a relationship because of, you know, some misbehavior in there somewhere. I'm not saying that's never the case, but I am saying that maybe that helps us to understand James and John a little bit, though their reaction is more intense. But Jesus is very patient. He's very kind, and the gospel is going to come back to be preached to the Samaritans again. And so he's not ready for them to lose the option of repentance yet. He's not ready for them to lose the option of listening and heeding the gospel. But realize that even with James and John, his reaction is patient. It is in the nature of Jesus as the good shepherd to be gentle with those that would heed the things that he says. And so he is gentle with James and John. I don't know exactly what he said. It just says that he rebuked them. But he didn't turn them away and say, you're eternally cut off from me. Go away. I never want to see you again. He helps to correct the attitude and the thinking so that they can change the behavior. And thus they can be pleasing to him and to the Father. Now, if you fast forward to the end of the first century, to the end of what we have recorded in the New Testament, you see that these two men went from being the sons of thunder to really understanding the concept of love and understanding the concept of patience and kindness. John often gets referred to as the apostle of love. So that patience of Jesus paid off. They heeded the correction. And don't we need the same thing? Don't we need the patience of Jesus so that we can come to repentance and that we can adopt the right attitudes and bear fruit in those changes in our life? Shouldn't we be thankful that Jesus is providing us with the opportunity to be rebuked, to be exhorted, to be corrected, so that we can make the changes that we need to make? Maybe that's what we need to think about today and adopt that same attitude in our relationships with others. So that which we are thankful for having with Jesus then becomes something that we enact in our own lives. We adopt as part of our own character because that's what we're supposed to do as disciples of Jesus. And so then, today, we can pray that we have the patience of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the heart of Jesus that sees the potential in others and wants to act in such a way in which we help that potential along. We help to bring them to God rather than to turn them away from God simply due to our own behaviors. Thank you for listening today. We'll have another reading at our next opportunity. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.